speaking to you from personal experience. I have found that there are times in my life that I wonder whether I'm really saved or not. I don't know if that's ever happened to you or not, but sometimes in the morning I wake up and I think, Lord, how in the world can you save somebody like me? How awful I am. Sometimes when I fiddle my head at night, I think the same thing. Lord, how in the world can you love a sinner like me?
Yes, amen.
And I wonder about it, and then all of a sudden, every time, the Lord brings me to this. He's sitting on the throne. My salvation is outside myself. And when I look to myself, that's when I lose assurance. That's when I lose confidence. That's when I lose boldness. But when I look to Him, that's when I have everything, because He has everything, and I have all things because of Him. You see, when I look at me, I see a failure. I see a sinner. When I look outside, I see Jesus Christ, my Lord, who never fails, has never, and never will fail. When I look to myself, I get discouraged. But when I look to my Lord Jesus Christ, I find someone who never has been discouraged, nor will be discouraged, until He brings all of His sons to glory. The only sure thing that, as I think about myself, the only sure thing that I accomplish is separation from God. Your sins are separated between you and your God, that He'll not hear you. But outside myself, my Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished my salvation. And I think of that verse that He will not hear me, but God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, sits at His right hand side, and He makes intercession for us, and God hears Him. Don't you think God hears you, son? And every prayer He makes for you and me, God hears His son. And that blesses my heart as I think about it. I hope it is somewhat of a blessing to you, but that's from personal experience. And it happens not only morning and night, but sometimes during the day as well. And you know what I'm talking about. But what we're going to talk about tonight is God's call. Make your calling and election sure. Peter said, make your calling and election sure, there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking there's only one sure thing. And it's not a thing. It's the God man. He's the only one that we can be sure of. You know, He did everything that was necessary for our salvation. And as we look outside of ourselves, we find that He's the only Savior. No other one can save. He is the only Savior. He's the one who brought in everlasting righteousness. He's the only sacrifice. There's no other sacrifice that could put away sins. And He put away sins in eternal redemption for us. He's the only substitute. He's the only one that could take our place as God and as man. As God, He could bear those sins. As man, He bore the punishment for those sins there for us on the cross. And by the way, at the cross is where it happened. In eternity past, if you could say such a thing, before the foundation of the world, He was already the Lamb slain. The sacrifice was already made. The work was already done. There's not one thing we can do. It's all done. What else could we do? He's the only one who can substitute. He secured and guaranteed eternal salvation for all His people. Oh, I'm so glad of that. And He's the only one who can satisfy God's law. He satisfied the justice of God as our substitute. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us. No wonder the angel said to Joseph and Mary, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Paul said it this way, "There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." God the Father accepts, He accepts all His elect in Christ. In Christ. And the call that we're talking about comes outside of ourselves. It's the call of God that comes to a man or a woman. And the Spirit applies the blood of Christ to the heart of God's elect in effectual calling. How do we know? How do we make our calling and election sure? How do we know? Very simply, our Lord said, "I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Do you know you're a sinner? Is that part of your life, knowing that you are fallen in Father Adam and you sin naturally on your own in practice? Well, He didn't come to call the righteous. If you have one little bit of righteousness, He's not calling anybody like you. But if you are a sinner before a holy God, and you see yourself as helpless, hopeless, without any ability to do anything for yourself, because you are a sinner, it's sinners that He calls. He called you. He called me. And by the way, what does He else does He have to choose from in this world but sinners? Well, we've been sinners from the beginning. But there are some that God reveals His holiness and nature to, and they realize that they are sinners before God. And those are the people that He calls. Our pastor has mentioned many times, if God has shown you that you're a sinner, you're already saved. You're on your way. It's a done deal. Because only God can show you that you're a sinner. And God calls. And that call is described so many different ways throughout the Scripture. Turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, look at verse 3. Speaking of the shepherd, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." Look at verse 27. Start with verse 26. "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." This calling, this making sure you're calling an election, this calling is a glorious calling. We read it there in 2 Peter chapter 1. It was for the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's look at it again. 2 Peter chapter 1.
I'm in 1 Peter. That's why I couldn't find it. 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. It's a glorious calling. Not because we get any glory out of it. It's because He gets all the glory out of it. You see, it's all the work of God. And if it's anything of our works, the first thing we would begin to do if we ever got to heaven was to brag about, well, I did this and I did that. And as a matter of fact, there are some who stand before the judgment, the Lord Jesus tells us, who will say, did not we prophesy in thy name? Did not we cast out devils in thy name? And you remember what the Lord said? I never knew you. You're not my sheep. I never knew you. It's not what you do. It's what He did. And that's why... And I've been there. So I'm going to just say it against myself from years ago. Preachers all over this nation and the world are telling everybody, you've got to do this, you've got to do this, don't do this, don't do that. And if you're faithful enough and you pray enough and you go to church enough and you give enough, well, maybe God will bless you for it and you'll be able to enter into the kingdom. Hogwash. There's no truth to that at all. We'll enter the kingdom when God calls us. As a matter of fact, He did that calling before the world ever began. I'll show you that here in a little bit. But it was a glorious calling. Listen to what Paul said. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's what I'd like to attain, wouldn't you? The glory of my Lord. He's entering back into His glory, He said in John 17. Going back to His glory. And He's praised for us that we will see Him in His glory. It's a glorious calling that He has for His sheep. Number two, it's a purposeful calling. He does it on purpose. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 1. We've read these verses many times, and I'm not telling you anything you've never heard before. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. When? Before the world began. That's when it happened. That's when it was all done. And in time, it was experienced by our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It's a purposeful calling. On purpose. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, most everybody knows this verse by heart. Romans 8, 28. Which says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. His purpose was from eternity was to save His elect. Jesus Christ became surety for those elect. He gave Himself for those elect. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world for these elect. And from the beginning of time on, as they were born, the Spirit of God effectually goes after them with the Word of God. And by the Word of God, giving the gift of faith that they may believe the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a purposeful calling. That's what Paul was talking about when he's talking about Esau and Jacob, that the purpose of election might stand. It's not of him that works, but of him, the Lord Jesus, who calls. It's a glorious calling. It's a purposeful calling. It's a gracious calling. He calls sinners.
Yes.
He calls sinners. I need the mercy of God, don't you? Yes. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. When you say, who's the sinner here? I'm the first one to raise my hand. I am. I'm like Paul. I say the same thing. I'm the chief of sinners. There's no one here worse than I. As a matter of fact, I'm worse than all. But by His grace and according to His mercy and His love, He came to save sinners. He came to save sinners. That's the only one He calls. Matter of fact, the phrase, He came to call not the righteous but sinners to repentance, is repeated in all four Gospels. And Jesus Christ said it. Now, He didn't have to call anybody, except that in eternity past, before the world was made, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit made a covenant. They struck hands, as it were. And God the Father said, we're going to create this world. There's going to be sin in the world. I'm going to elect some out of there, but they can't come to me as sinners. God the Son said, well, I'll be surety for them. I'll take care of that sin problem. And I'll be the one who will bring them to you, many sons to glory. And I won't fail. And I won't be discouraged. I won't stop until it's all done, till the last sheep is called. And the Holy Spirit is the one who does the effectual calling of those sheep. He didn't have to call anyone. And as a matter of fact, some people go to the extreme on this. I use the term free willer. You know what I mean. The free willer says, we complete Him. He did everything that was necessary. Now, we have to make a choice. When God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, when sovereign God calls, something's going to happen. And if He doesn't call, nothing's going to happen. Am I right? They say, well, He has no hands but our hands. He has no feet but our feet. He has no ears but our ears. Again, I say, hogwash. He can do without my hands. He can do without my feet. He can do without my ears. He can do without me. But according to His mercy, His grace, and His love, God chose me. That is humbling. That drops us down to the nothing we are. God does the choosing. Why? Even the Lord Jesus says He triumphantly entered into Jerusalem. They called Him and they said, blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord. And they praised Him as He was coming in. And the disciples that stood around said, make them be quiet. Make them be quiet. Don't let them talk to you, about you like that. You remember what the Lord said? He said, if I tell them to be quiet, the stones will cry out. Why, He could make the stones cry out if He wanted to. As a matter of fact, we heard the other night from our pastor, And let me just say it this way. If he can make a jackass talk, he can make you and me talk. You know what the real, what the truth is? We are chosen in Christ Jesus and we are complete in Him. Complete in Him. We're predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We're providentially led by the Holy Spirit to the Lord. It's a gracious calling. It's all of grace. All of grace. It's a distinguishing calling. Again, you look in John chapter 10, and you note there that He calls His sheep. Some are not called, but He calleth His own sheep by name. As a matter of fact, the Lord said, many are called, few are chosen. But He does call. He does call. And who does He call? He calls sinners. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me just say it this way. How do I know that I'm one of God's elect? I know I'm a sinner. And He came to save sinners. Let's begin with verse 26. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but..." Excuse me. "But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." And why did He do this? "That no flesh should glory in His presence." It's a distinguishing call. He came for His sheep. The Lord said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I'll nowise cast out." You won't come to me unless my Father draw you. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That particular calling, He said in John chapter 10, "I lay down my life for the sheep. No man taketh it from me. I lay down my life and I take it up again. I lay down my life for the sheep." You know, there are many Christs vying for our attention in the world. Many false Christs out there. And the Lord Jesus even warned us of that. Some will say that He is either there or He's somewhere else. And don't believe it. Don't believe it. There's only one. There's only one. And the good shepherd calls his sheep. Isn't it interesting? When He called, they follow. That's a powerful call. When He calls, they follow. The Lord said, "Turn to me," and what did I do? David said, "I turned to the Lord." A powerful calling, a particular calling. And He died for His sheep. He purchased them with His own blood. He finished the work of salvation for us. It's an effectual calling. "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." They'll hear His voice and they'll follow. No wonder Paul said in Romans chapter 11, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Once He calls, it's done. It's done. It's over. Paul said also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it. He's the doer of it. It's a personal calling, as we read there in John chapter 10, verse 3. I know my sheep. He knows His sheep by name. Now, when He called me, I did not hear my name. That's not what He's talking about. I didn't hear my name called. Samuel did. Samuel? Samuel. He went to Eli. You called me? Well, I didn't call you. Go lay the back down. Go sleep. God called again. Samuel? Samuel. He ran to Eli. Surely you called me this time. No, I didn't call you. Go lay down. The Lord called him again. Samuel? Samuel. And he ran to Eli. Said, surely you called me this time. Finally, Eli, it was revealed to him, God was calling this young man, this young boy. Go lay down. And when He speaks to you again, say, yes, Lord, Thy servant heareth. God the Father called. God the Son called. God the Holy Spirit called. Eli preached the word. Go lay down and listen to him. And when he went and lay down and listened to him, God talked to a young man, made him a prophet, and his words didn't even fall to the ground. It's a personal calling. But he came to me personally. I remember the night. Don't remember when it was. Don't remember all the details about it. I just remember one night as I was laying down in bed, that I was thinking about what the preacher had talked about so many times that gripped my heart, and that was about the sovereignty of God. He is the one who purposed all things. He's the one who decreed all things. He's the one who runs it all. He's the one who saves. He's the one who provided salvation. And that night, I looked up to the Lord and I said, I'm a sinner. And it must be me. Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Do you remember Jesus going to Jericho? When He went into Jericho, there were some blind men, and He healed them. As He was going out of Jericho, there was a blind man, and He healed him. Didn't do a thing in Jericho. Passed right on through. But before, He had a blind man there, two of them. After, He had a blind man there. Remember what the blind man was saying? Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me, as they walked by. Being blind, not seeing, but maybe hearing, like footsteps were leaving him, he calls out even louder. Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And he kept calling, and the disciples said, shh, shh, be quiet. You know what Jesus did? He stood still. Somebody was calling for mercy. And he stood still and told them to bring him, that blind man, to him. They went to the blind man, and here's what they said. Be of good cheer. He calleth thee. When you beg for mercy, that's one thing He delights in. That's one thing He'll hear. When you beg for mercy, it's a merciful calling. He calls the guilty sinners. He committed His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's a beneficial calling. A beneficial calling. Look with me in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Some of these things are just so simple, probably don't even need to be said, but the Lord gave me these thoughts, and I'm sharing them with you. Acts chapter 2. Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. Verse 38, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Notice these words. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's a beneficial calling. They shall come to me, our Lord said, and I'll never cast them out. Never leave you nor forsake you. I give you the promise of eternal life. The Father gave him the privilege to give eternal life to as many as he would. And he would for those that were of the elect. You see, Peter said it this way, we're called out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a privilege. What a privilege. And in him, all the promises are yea and amen. I might make a promise to you. And in all of my thinking and my heart, I want to keep that promise. But there may be circumstances around that have caused me to have a problem about keeping that promise. Or in this old sinful flesh, I may just not want to. But our Lord keeps His promise. And there's nothing that will discourage Him. He will do as He said He would do. I want you to know with me also that it is an audible calling. My sheep hear my voice. It's an audible calling. It's the preaching of the gospel. Our Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. These words you've heard many, many times, but we're going to repeat them again tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 13. Paul says, But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has called us by the gospel. Then I want to say one last thing about it. It's an urgent call. Luke chapter 19. Zacchaeus heard that Jesus Christ was coming by. Zacchaeus was a publican, tax collector, hated by his own people. He was a thief. He exacted more taxes than he was supposed to and kept what he exacted more. And that was part of the Roman program. But he heard Jesus was coming by. So what's he do? He climbs up in the tree so he could see this wonder. See this person he's heard about. And as Jesus walks by, what does he do? He stops right under that tree. And he says, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down. For salvation has come to your house today. Make haste. It's an urgent call. It's an urgent call. Today, if you will hear his voice, today is the day of salvation. We don't know what tomorrow brings forth. If you'll remember some time ago, on a Sunday morning, Brad was preaching that Sunday night. On a Sunday morning, I preached from Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And talked about how short life was. On the way home, I had a heart attack. I was in the hospital a few days. The Lord was merciful to me. But I lay there that night thinking that any moment I'll see my Lord. You don't know what a day is going to bring forth. I drive traffic 40 miles every day on the way and on the way back when I come to church. I never know what's going to happen out on that highway. I don't know if I walk out my front door, if I don't trip, fall down on my concrete and bust my head wide open. I don't know. But I do know this. I do know that God called me in His love, mercy, and grace. And that I am one of His. He is mine, and I'm His. That's what Paul found out on the road to Damascus. He had warrants in his pocket. We're going to throw these Christians in jail. We're going to execute some of them. And on his way to execute, he got executed. God dropped him to his knees. Dropped him on his face. Lord, who are you? I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Lord, what will you have me to do? When God calls, you'll follow. Has God called you? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for showing us about your call, a sovereign, blessed, irresistible call of God. Thank you, Lord, that you did that, because if it had not been irresistible, had not been effectual, I'd have never been called. I'd have never come. I'd never follow. Because of this old body of flesh. Thank you, Lord, for dying for my sin and the sins of all your elect, and providing a perfect salvation for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and we'll sing, "Oh, How Merciful."